Welcome, everybody. We are back. It is the Stingers Up Sacramento State Football Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Ross. Looking forward to another exciting year of Sacramento State Football. We will have our regular routine as the podcast roll along, but we're back to get you started for 2023. And the way we'll start is like we did last year as well. We're going to start today with a preview of the offense. We're going to hear from the five offensive coaches, some new members to this squad. Of course, the head coach now, Andy Thompson, takes over fully in the duty as the head coach. Still will have his fingerprints all over the defense. But on episode one of Stingers Up, we're going to talk about for this season the offense. And where we're going to begin is with a guy who has got the title as well, back with the program. Very excited that he's back. Associate head coach, run game coordinator, offensive line coach, and really has done a tremendous job with this program. So let's start our previews and looking at a very important piece to the puzzle, the offensive line of Sacramento State. So to do that, let's hear from the associate head coach and O-line coach, Chris Richardson.
So we're here with associate head coach, offensive line coach, and I know a lot of Hornet fans are happy that Coach Richardson, you are back coaching this group. Kind of let's go to that on a personal level. Like, the offseason, a little different, a little weird.
Yep.
You're so connected with Troy Taylor, but you've been away from him as well. You decide to stay a Hornet. We're all glad you're here. How was the kind of that whole, I don't know if it was circus, but just how you processed all of that?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, once Troy made the decision to leave, obviously there was some uncertainty on what direction, that the president was going to go in. And myself, Bobby Frescas, Andy Thompson all got together and all said we wanted to stay here and support whoever got, the head coaching job. And I know I went into the interview thinking, hey, I'll take it if they think I'm the best guy. But, in my heart of hearts, I knew that, Andy was the guy, in my opinion, nothing against Bobby and myself. But I think we both felt like Andy was the right choice. He's numerous years of big sky experience and ready to take that job. And it kept me right where I want to be, which is, helping Andy as the associate head coach and in the O-line room. Because that's at end of the day, I've been the head high school coach for 15 years. I've done the head coaching thing. I'm at my best when I'm in the O-line room. And that's where I feel at home the most.
Well, I know you got a good O-line to talk about. Yep. Before we even get to that, too, how about just the status you guys have helped build to the 3 years of success, back-to-back-to-back championships, and a lot of guys coming back? Feels like you're on the making of another big year.
Absolutely. That was a big part of one of the reasons we wanted to stay. And what drew me to coming to Sac State was how we've always felt that, we kind of always felt that this was kind of the sleeping giant, that we felt like if we recruited as many local kids mixed in with everybody else, but make our imprint on the local recruiting and run our style of football, both on defense and offense, that we felt like we could win and win for a lot of years here. And that was the draw for me, the ability to, after a 24-year career coaching high school, to just drive down the freeway 10 minutes to Sac State and build something, special here. And, we're 3 years and three Big Sky championships. And, when you talk, everyone's talking about national championship. That wasn't in the conversation when we took the job. We were just trying to, win games. And that's still the process. We talk about it all the time. It's just one game at a time. You can only control what you can control. Get better every day, get better every week, and hopefully at the end of the thing, you're in the mix, and we've done that here. That was, Troy's mantra. It's our mantra here still. One game at a time, get better every day, compete, like crazy. And in our perspective as coaches, recruit the best players, play the best guys, and make it where it's fun to be a part of football.
Yeah. Well, you win games in the trenches. You know that. And your O-line last year was tremendous. As an O-line coach, knowing just anchor pieces, Jackson Slater coming back, Nathan Mejia, Ivan Garza, I don't know if it makes you sleep easier, but knowing that you've got at least those three, along with others coming back, how much how exciting does that make you for the season?
Yeah, big time. And that was a big part of it. When all the transition was going from Coach Taylor to Coach Thompson, some of the O-line guys, they were worried I was leaving. I think everyone just assumed Troy's going, I'm going, and it was, Troy was awesome, could have went, I wanted to stay, right? And I went right to the O-line room. I said, hey, I'm staying if you're staying, so that was the conversation. I'm staying here, you guys stay here. And that, I know I had numerous guys, Jackson, Nate, all those guys that they said, as long as I'm running the O-line room, they're not going anywhere, which is awesome. Awesome to hear. And, again, we have great pieces here. Like you said, we got Troy Stiefel's a 26-game starter. You got Ivan Garza's a 25-game starter. Jackson and Nate Mejia both garnered All-American honors last year. You got Kendall Riley, who plugged in, you know, when Troy went down last year, moved, you know, Brandon Weldon, who's doing great up in Canada, plugged Kendall Riley in, and we just kept right on plugging. And then we got some great young players, Sawyer Hayes, Aiden Meek, Caden Richardson. We got a deep O-line group, and it's exciting. They're a bunch of great guys. We work really hard. It's totally the lunch pail bunch kind of attitude. We just show up every day. We know that at the end of the day, if we're doing our job, they're going to talk about the quarterbacks. They're going to talk about the running backs. But at the end of the day, if we're breaking school records in rushing and we're one of the top 10 teams in terms of sacks allowed, that we're winning a lot of football games.
You have a group that's 20 deep. And as you've now established this back-to-back-to-back Big Sky Championship, have you found it easier to find whatever the quote-unquote your guy is for O-line to come to the school?
It's definitely aided the recruiting process, for sure. You know, when we first got here, you know, we're beating the bushes trying to find guys that, you know, to be honest, guys didn't want to come to Sac State. There are a lot of guys that would rather, you know, take a walk on at a Pac-12 or a Mountain West school. And, you know, we've found those guys. We've found some really good recruits. You know, if you're looking, you can find them. But now, you know, when you win three straight back to, you know, yeah. Big Sky Championships, now when you go talk to kids, they're aware of what we're doing. Again, we've had, you know, the first year we had two all-conference guys. Then it was three all-conference guys. Last year we had four all-conference guys. Probably should have been five. You know, Ivan Garza, to me, was an all-conference caliber guy. So, and we're getting guys to the next level, you know. So, now when you go out recruiting, especially me on the O-line, you know, I can get in the mix and have conversations with guys that are being offered by Fresno State and San Jose State and some of the Mountain West schools, and they want to come here. Mm-hmm. You know, Richard McKay is an example of that. He had Fresno State. He chose Sac State, you know. So, we're right there. So, again, you have success. Kids want to be a part of it, you know.
We know the nature of the sport. Injuries happen, but you feel with 20, your depth, I mean, you usually play 10, sometimes 11. You got the depth this year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's always a part of it. You know, we do have 20 guys in the O-line room. And again, I'm trying to develop all 20. You know, that's I think one of the things being a high school coach for as long as I have or was, that my commitment is to develop all of my guys in my room. Yeah, we're going to have our starters, but I got to have the guys that are group two, group three, group four ready to go, because sometimes in football, you know, you always want to stay healthy, but when stuff's going bad, you got to have the next guy up. And we have that. I feel like, again, you know, we're eight or nine deep with guys with experience, and got some really talented young freshmen coming in, Kate Gretline, Jose Soto, Richard McKay, Davis May, all guys to me that could play early if I needed them to. The beauty is I've got enough experience and depth where I might not need to, so I can continue to develop those young guys.
So you've kept it in the family before. You've coached Cooper and Caden. Caden's still here. Now Cooper's helping out coaching. How's that? How's he doing as a coach?
He's doing awesome. Yeah. You know, that's the nature of the beast with, you know, professional football. You know, it didn't work out where he got released this summer, and, you know, kind of just made the decision that, hey, I'm 25 years old, time for me to jump into coaching ranks. Nice. Even though I've tried to give him advice that maybe, hey, you want to do sales or teaching, but he wanted to do it, and luckily Andy was accepting to it. He's stepped right in. He's an awesome teacher already. Great, you know, for the young guys to talk to. And for me, I got a guy that understands when I say, hey, give me a cut up of X, Y, and Z, because this is what I'm looking for. I've coached him. Makes life easy. I don't need to re-explain everything. He knows what I want and knows the expectation, and he's been a great addition to our staff.
All right, last thing for you. I know you're locked in on your offensive line room, but you got other weapons around you, the skill players. What do you think of the offense overall, what you've seen?
Yeah, what I've seen, again, I see a bunch of guys that can play football. You know, again, we got, you know, quarterback room is as good as it's been since we've been here. You know, and that's no – I'm not – you know, again, but Caden Bennett, Carson Camp, Carson Conklin, those guys are competing. They look fantastic. different. Each of them can do something a little bit different. So, again, we'll see how the quarterback room sorts out. We know Marcus Fulcher can be a big-time running back in this conference. I think he's one of the best guys in the country. Elijah Taltoliver, Ezra Malini. So we got depth in the running back room. Again, our receivers are explosive and fast. They're some of these young guys like Devin Gandy and Jared Gibson and Carlos Wilson. These are guys now that are, again, they're experienced in our system. Tyson Prince is our new wide receiver coach. He's done a great job with those guys. And I feel like we're as explosive and dynamic as ever. So I don't foresee a drop-off. You know, we're just running the same stuff that we ran at Folsom, similar stuff that, you know, Troy, Bobby, and I had developed. So there's not this big drastic change in offensive schemes, which is, again, another piece that was so exciting about staying here with Coach Fresca's and I. We did it at Folsom after Troy. It's the same stuff.
Seamless.
You know, and again, so it got the O-line room, got the quarterback coach, added two great skill guys, got Coach LePan coaching the tight ends and special teams. On the offensive side, we're full steam ahead. We have high expectations of what we want to do, score lots of points, get lots of yards, and make life easy on our defense.
Bet you can't wait.
I'm excited. I'm ready to roll.
All right, from the experience in this Hornet program of Chris Richardson, let's welcome in the first of our new faces to this coaching staff, wide receiver coach and passing game coordinator Tyson Prince. Pretty good resume for him. Excited to be a member of the Hornets and had a chance to catch up with him and learn about that wide receiver group he has.
Coach, let's start with your background. Like, kind of how it came about. How did Coach Thompson and the Hornets lure you in?
Man, so it really started back in 2019. Got into the coaching game. I was at Fresno State working with Kirby Moore. He was a receiver coach. He's now the OC at Missouri. Bounced around with them. Ended up staying in the Mountain West Conference there in 2021 and got on with Boise State. And this was probably the biggest connection I had with Coach Plow. He's their offensive coordinator there. He's got some big sky history. He was at UC Davis for a while, unfortunately. But, no, he's a great dude. And just stayed in contact with him. And last year I was at the University of Washington. We had some success there. And, was looking to get my first job and reached out to some people to get in contact with some of the coaches here. And Coach Plow and Coach Thompson have a deep history there too. So they kind of got me connected together, and I got a shot to interview and ended up getting the job. So very thankful for the opportunity.
Well, I'm not saying this just because I'm sitting in front of you talking to you, but I've heard very good things, and people are thinking this is good news for the Hornets that you hear, but you may not be here long. There's a lot of talk like you're going to be moving up the ladder, which I'm sure is flattering to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to take one season at a time right now. I've been bouncing around a ton early in my career. I have not been a place two consecutive years since graduating college. But, you know, that was all to kind of get the first job. And so right now I'm just happy to be here, and I'm not looking down the road too much. You know, when my time comes, it comes. But I'm really excited about the culture here and the room that I got. And I got a lot of good young guys, and I want to see them get developed and win here. So it is flattering to hear that, but I'm definitely not looking too far down the road.
In your mind, what makes a good coach? What gets through to these guys? What makes a good coach?
I think there's a bunch of different ways to be a good coach. It's really just finding a way to connect to your players, and there's not one formula to that. I like to use my youth as an advantage, but I'm not saying like older coaches aren't good. You know, obviously a lot of people trust the veteran coaches, and they've done it for a while. But I think you have to be able to connect to your players and build the trust off the field before they listen to you on the field. You know, the saying of they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? So you kind of got to build that that trust value with them before you go out there and tell them what to do and boss them around, right? And just treating these young adults like men and not just, hey, my players, where anything I say goes. You know, it's kind of back and forth with them because they've been playing football for a long time too. So kind of just using all the input, finding the best ways to get stuff done.
Well, let's learn about your room. 16 receivers. People hear the name Pierre Williams no longer here, but there's a lot of experience coming back. What do you have in these 16 guys?
I think I got a lot of hungry guys here. We're gonna miss Pierre for sure. He had a lot of production, but I think there's a lot of young guys and veteran young guys. You know, the COVID sophomores right now that are ready to contribute. They've been in this program for a couple of years now, and they've seen success, and they really want to have a chance to be a main contributor to that success. A lot of talent. We're deep with a lot of different play styles and personalities. We got the speed. We got the size. We got bigger bodies in the slot, more agile guys in the slot, guys that can go up and get it, catch and run guys. So I really have a good mixture of guys all in my room that are just ready to contribute.
And it seems like the way this offense has been designed over the last couple of years, the receivers need to be versatile. There might be five wide. There might be two receivers blocking downfield. Like, you guys kind of have to do it all, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're multiple personnel. I don't think there's terms for offenses like there was in the old days. We were saying you're just a West Coast or a pro style. Like, offenses have just developed into what they are. So it's a mixture of all good football in my eyes, right? So we'll be in the slot blocking linebackers and also trying to be out wide, digging out corners, safeties. Also, they need to take the top off, you know. So like you're saying, who knows, we might even see them in the backfield a little bit, you know. Yeah. So we'll see.
Have you found that is there a leader of this group? Is there someone that's been more vocal or kind of collective so far?
I think it's a collective effort because we really don't have that returning senior that has been the guy in the room. So it's been a collective effort of the group, and I think they've done a great job all kind of just leading by example. I don't think we have a vocal leader in that room, which is fine. You don't need to have a ton of that. I think we've had the correct leaders on the team step up. You know, obviously we need it in the quarterback room and Marshall on offense. They'll kind of all fall in line and see how it's supposed to be done. So no, I wouldn't say we have a vocal leader, but all of them have been leading by example.
It also seems like it could be a luxury where maybe there's not one guy that's going to get, you know, maybe Carlos Hill gets 10 targets today, but then the next game he gets two because Parker Clayton's getting more, or Gibson, or like, what does that depth do for you?
It's a security blanket, you know, where it's not just, hey, we're counting on one guy. I got seven guys that I could throw out there and not bat an eye at and just know that in this offense, the ball is going to find the right person, right? Like, yeah, we could manufacture stuff to get people touches, but if we just play our game, the ball is going to go to the open person, and that could be whoever it is based off what the defense is giving us. So that's why it's so exciting to have this depth and just go and let these guys go out there and play and just let the ball find the open man and let them go be explosive.
So your experiences is taking, like you said, Fresno State, Washington, other places. What's your first – well, you've been here a while now, but since January, but your impressions of – haven't had a game yet as a Hornet, but just the program, the coaches, the area, all that.
Love the coaching staff. It's really a family-oriented environment, and just the opportunity that they've given me to come in here and kind of put my stamp on things has been very welcoming and open arms. So it's a welcoming environment to come in here and kind of do my thing. And the city itself, I love Sacramento. You know, I found some good food spots. You know, my girlfriend, now fiance, sorry
Congrats.
About that. Sorry, Cass. she's found the good spots around town and outside of town. We're big fans of Napa. Mm. So we've gone out there in Tahoe. So it's a gold mine area around here. So my first, what is it now, 7 months here have been awesome. I'm just ready for the season to get started.
Yeah. Well, congrats and welcome to Sacramento.
Thank you.
From Coach Tyson Prince, we welcome in another new face to the Hornet program. This is familiar to a lot of college football fans. Donnell Pumphrey, an amazing running back at San Diego State. In fact, the all-time leading rusher in college football history, can do really well with this running back room. So let's learn from the new coach of the running backs, Donnell Pumphrey.
All right, let's welcome in another new Sacramento State Hornet head coach, Donnell Pumphrey. First off, welcome to Sacramento. How did this all come about for you?
Honestly, because Austin Cooper, mm-hmm. who's a linebacker coach, me and him played. We grew up together,
okay.
So we played Pop Warner High School together, and he ended up getting hired a month prior to me, and they ended up having two, basically a running back coach left twice, mm-hmm. you know, and he ended up hitting me up asking if I was interested, and really went from there. So our head coach, he has a relationship with my old running back coach when I played at San Diego State. He used to actually go up to San Diego State a lot and do the clinics and stuff. So there was kind of that relationship there, and kind of reached out and you know, it was a mutual thing. I was interested, and now I'm here.
Tell us a little bit about your running back room, because if I'm walking in the running back room the first day, I'm like, hey guys, I don't know if you know this, but I'm the all-time leading rusher in college football history. I would probably say that all the time. I don't know how you do that, but how has your room and your relationship with your guys been?
Well, I have a great relationship with every single one of them. They all bring different things to the room, And honestly, that's the best thing about it is they're all different in different aspects. I have Marcus Fulcher, who's pretty much a back that I can rely on, do everything. He can catch the ball, run the ball in between the tackles, make guys miss. You got Tal Tolliver, who's kind of backing him up, he's our special teams demon, but he's probably the most back that I trust the most. As far as catching the ball at the backfield, knowing his protections and assignments, all the above. And then there's Ezra Molini, who's gonna be that back that a lot of people don't know about, but he's gonna wow you when he comes to the field. He's my bruiser back that breaks a lot of tackles. He came from San Mateo Junior College, so he's an experienced back that ran for 1600 yards at that level. So I'm pretty much excited. And then we got we have five other younger backs that have tremendous upside, and I look forward to, you know, building them up and continuing to see how they get into this offense.
Do you feel like one or more are the leaders of that group? Like, who are your leaders or your running backs?
My leaders of that group are probably those top three. You got Marcus Fulcher, who's been here the longest. You have Ezra, who's probably my most mature back out of the group. And that's because he has a fiance, he has a baby as well. And then you got Tal Tolliver, who he knows every single thing within the offense. Like, he knows what the receivers are doing, all the above. So then obviously you got Elijah Gable, who's been in the program a long time as well. You know, so they pretty much all have been like big brothers to my younger backs. Yeah. And I'm definitely grateful for that.
The group was really good last year, and I'm sure a lot of them heard and watched a lot about Cameron Scadaboo, who was a great runner. But does this group, do you get the sense, too, like they want to, especially Fulcher, who had a great year, but it's like, hey, I'm pretty good here, too. Absolutely. Are these guys kind of ready to make their own name for themselves?
Oh, for sure. Fulcher's more than excited. Yeah. And we've had that conversation when I first got hired, because he felt like he was kind of overlooked as that back, kind of being that shadow back behind Scadaboo, but I think that Fulcher, he's going to be a back that's going to, you know, help us a lot this year. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to, you know, watching him tote that rock. I see him running for 1,000 yards plus, you know. And then even the backs behind them, they have a lot to prove as well, you know, especially because, like I said, Ezra, he ran for 1,600 yards at the college level. Mm-hmm. So he's looking to prove himself at this FCS level. And then Tal Tolliver is kind of feeling like how Fulch was feeling the past few years. He feels like he can be a number one guy, but it's just one of those things. He just has to wait his turn. Yeah. But I think, like I said, those three are going to find ways to help us in many ways, and they're all going to be toeing the rock for us this season.
Yeah, this offense in the past has been fast and moves quickly. So are you just like shuttling those guys in and out as ever fresh, just unleash fresh guys on the defense?
Absolutely, just keeping them fresh as much as possible. Obviously, there's going to be times where maybe Fulch is leading us all the way downfield, and he may get tired once we get to the 20-yard line, but at the end of the day, he has to realize that it's all about our position group as well as the team success. You know what I mean? Like, he can't get mad because he got us down there and we're not giving him the touchdown. So at the end of the day, we have one goal in mind, and that's, you know, to win a national championship.
Lastly, from your experience, obviously so successful in college, what makes a great running back?
A great running back is one, being a smart back, you have to know the situation, because there's times where it's 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. We're not looking for you to have an explosive run. We're looking for you to just, you know, get that 1 yard for us. You know what I mean? You got to be able to catch the ball at the backfield. You have to be able to protect the quarterback in many ways. You can't just expect to do things with the ball. It's what I'm telling my guys, it's what you do without the ball that's going to make a bigger impact to our team. Because every running back in our room, we know what you guys can do with the ball. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to block, give effort chasing the ball. Because there was a specific play that we had in training camp to where it was a pass concept, and our running back Tal was on a swing route. The ball didn't find him, and Caden Bennett ended up taking off 60 yards. Tal ended up, you know, chasing him down and ended up getting the lead block. And that was the difference from a touchdown and a 40-yard gain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's a way that I'm trying to get my guys to be impactful to our offense.
Yeah. I'm sure that looked good on film for you as a coach. You're like, this is exactly what we want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Coach actually showed that in the team meeting as one of those effort plays, you know.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to it. Welcome to Sacramento.
Thank you, man. I'm looking forward to this season.
Thank you to Coach Pumphrey there. Now let's transition to a name Hornet fans have known for years. Bobby Freskus, a quarterback at Sacramento State, has been in the general area as coach in many different programs and certainly back here as the Hornet quarterback coach for years, but now an associate head coach, offensive coordinator, working with the quarterbacks as well. He will be calling plays for this, what we hope to be another dynamic year of a Hornet offense. Here's my conversation with Bobby Freskus.
All right, here we go with Bobby Freskus. Let's see, associate head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach. A lot of titles now, Bobby. Yeah. How's that all sound to you?
Awesome. You forgot fundraiser.
How's that going? That's probably the most important one.
It is during the off season. It's nice because it gets me out there in the community and dealing with people that I've known for many years, and a lot of them are teammates, and a lot of them are at giving age where, you know, they're empty nesters, kind of like I'm going to become this year, where they want to be involved with the program, they want to help out, and it's awesome to get them back into the program.
As far as your offseason personally, you go for the head coaching job. So does Coach Richardson. Yeah. So does Andy Thompson. It feels good the way it ended. I'm sure there was some – you wanted the job, but then you're still here and you got a very important position. Just from your perspective, how did that all go down? How do you feel about it going forward?
You know, going into it, we had all collaborated. So we were all willing to work for one another. And just getting that opportunity provided – I wanted to stay. And, you know, when we had the success in the 3 years prior, you know, a lot of people would ask, and sometimes people would negatively recruit, saying, well, that staff's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. I had the same answer since the day I arrived here. And just because we had success, I had no intentions of leaving. So I always told the players, first, I'd like to get the head job if it presents itself. If not, I'd like to get the coordinator job. And then, if those two don't work out, maybe the writing's on the wall. It's time to leave.
Yeah.
But, you know, it provided an opportunity for me and my family to stay in town at my alma mater and our community. And I didn't want to leave. And, you know, what we're doing here, we haven't got to where we ultimately want to go and win a national championship. And that's pretty hard to do at the FBS level if you're not in the SEC.
Yeah, true.
So I think we have an opportunity to do that at some time, you know, and we have a good team coming back. And at this point in my career, I want to, you know, kind of stay on the path and focus on, you know, significance and, you know, relating to these players and being a significant role model for them.
I know when you played here, there was some success. When you were coaching in the community, some success here, but not like you guys have had. I mean, the three back-to-back Big Sky championships. Everybody always said sleeping giant. Did you even envision what you guys have just done was possible?
I did, and the only reason, because I've been so closely associated with the program in my 31 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I finished playing here in 92. But when we first came here, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. And there was an opportunity that we could have got the job when they gave it to Coach Sears. Mm-hmm. You know, and he had a winning season, so they extended his contract. But there's an opportunity for us to come then, and it was always the talk that this place had huge potential, you know, to win at a high level, you know, and you just need some stability and some success and have that feed off of one another. But it has always been there. And, you know, you talk to people around the league, around the country, they always mention how Sac State always gets a lot of speed, a lot of great skilled players. But now you couple that with a great O-line and D-line like we have and, you know, the continuity and staff that we've been able to keep, you know, since Troy left, you know, it's a recipe for success.
Yeah. Let's talk about your quarterback room. Everybody looks at that first. So you lose Jake Dunaway, Asher O'Hara, wildly successful, but you got a room that looks pretty good to start the year. What's your thoughts on the four guys you have at QB?
It's a great room. It's the deepest room we've had since I've been here. You know, Jake Dunaway comes around the program every once in a while, and you know, he's able to watch, and we're able to converse. He's up playing in Ottawa now. But, you know, he probably said it best. He's like, these guys are a lot more talented than Ash and I. Mm. And those two were really good. Ash was such a savvy and crafty runner and threw the ball better, you know, than people may would give credit. And then Jake, you know, he was just like a field general out there, like a coach on the field. You know, so those guys have a lot of mileage. These guys don't necessarily have that mileage. But as far as the talent level, they have a lot of talent to work with, and they're growing into the position and making good decisions, which is what we're going to base our decision on. And it's a very competitive room, and those guys are just driving each other and making each other better, and I think we're going to end up with a good result.
Yeah, watching camp, watching scrimmages, watching practice, I mean, you're playing them all. I mean, everybody's getting their reps. So I'll start with Caden, who most fans would know the most. You've had him a long time. You know him. What do you have in Caden Bennett?
an extremely explosive and talented guy, you know, with his legs, who throws the ball very well based on the experience he's had from high school playing for us at Folsom to this point in his career, because he's thrown the ball a lot. And that's how we try to rate quarterbacks from high school, because you don't know the exact coaching that they're getting. But if they're in a system that throws the ball and they have a lot of yardage, a lot of touchdowns with not a lot of interceptions, you know, I think that's the best barometer, you know, to recruit a quarterback. And he has all that. So now it's just really getting that on-the-field experience. Mm-hmm. And he's getting it. He's got it ever since last spring, and he's just growing and getting better each day. So he's really pushing for that job.
Carson Camps played a lot of college football, South Dakota, very successful there. What do you have in more of a conventional passer, but he's a good athlete too.
Yeah, definitely a good athlete. He runs the ball better than you think, mm-hmm. you know, a lot like Jake, you know, would do. And he's extremely cerebral guy. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of mileage under his belt, too. He has 22 starts at the collegiate level. If he's not the guy, it's not going to be for not being prepared. Mm-hmm. That guy is in here every day. If I'm not here, he'll be over there with Coach Prince, or he'll be watching film with the guys. That guy is a true professional, and he's going to give himself the best opportunity to be the guy.
Another Carson Conklin comes in pretty decorated, looks talented to me. You'd be the better evaluator of that, playing the position and coaching it, but you got to be excited about the freshman.
No, Carson is very much in the mix, mm-hmm. and he played at a high level down there at Centennial High School. And when we were recruiting him last year, you know, we wanted to watch game film, because of course the highlight film always looks good, but his game film looked great, but especially in the big games. I mean, they should have beat Monterey in his junior year, and he was playing incredibly well. And, you know, he did that. He just happened to be sharing time with a five-star quarterback, which to me says a lot, because he was a three-star quarterback himself. But if I was the five-star guy sharing time with a guy, mm-hmm. you know, it must mean he's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Carson came up here in January. He's able to learn the offense, and he's growing into the position, and he just does some things that are very special. And just comes with him being a football junkie.
Yeah.
He makes plays out there, and he's definitely has good legs as well, so he can run and throw, and he's definitely in the mix.
Nice. And then you have to round out the room. You have Joey Cook. I think he was a late add. He had some nice throws at the scrimmage. What do you see in him?
Oh, Joey comes from a great program. He only played 1 year at Marin Catholic, but then he was at another school out there, San Marin. Mm. His junior year, where I believe they were 15-0 state champions.
Okay.
So for him to transfer to Marin Catholic, you know, it's a little bit of a surprise, but Marin Catholic has a very good reputation, and they've had a lot of success. You know, of course, Jared Goff went there. So he went there, and I think they lost in the semifinals, but is a really good quarterback, very competitive, great fit, because he was that late addition where, you know, it's going to take a while for him to get caught up to the other guys, but the potential is there, and
yeah.
he's a great addition to the room.
The funny thing is, probably the question, you know, that I would get asked most covering you guys was, do they really play two quarterbacks? And for a couple of years, you guys did. You guys obviously aren't afraid to do that. Maybe even play three this year. Who knows?
You never know. The situation will present, mm-hmm. you know, what's going to happen. You know, so I'd like to think that, you know, one guy would emerge, but they're both playing really well right now. And I'd like to think that there's no way you can go through a game and just play one guy right now. It's because if it's Carson Camp, we'd have to get KB on the field somehow, because he's so explosive, both pass and run.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to play coverage and he takes off running, he could score from anywhere on the field. And then if it's KB being the guy, you know, Carson does such a good job of managing the game and doing things, you know, that are at a high level where it's very competitive. We may go with both the guys, and then, you know, based on the situation, Conklin could be in the fold.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll play out a little bit, and, you know, the last 2 weeks of camp and then the first 3 weeks of the season before we get into Big Sky play.
So calling the plays this year for you, too. You'll be up in the booth. You've been up there before, but now calling the offense, you're very familiar with it. You know it. You've helped design it. What added wrinkles is that for you?
You know, it just takes some getting used to of, you know, the emotions of the game. That's why I'm going to be up top. I want to take the emotions out. I want it to be nice and calm, you know, environment for me to call plays. The other thing is the staff has done a great job, you know, of helping me along. And then, you know, I want to rely on them as well.
Yeah.
You know, so they're help throughout the week is awesome. And it doesn't go unnoticed. And sure, I may be calling it, but I always, you know, love using this line that my dad used to talk about all the time, that many hands make the burden light. You know, so there's a lot of people helping out in this process and calling the plays. That's just the fun part.
Yeah. Well, plus you got weapons.
Oh, yeah. We have weapons. And like I tell the quarterbacks, don't feel like you have to win the game for us. Yeah. We have a lot of weapons out there. So, you know, in between series, we'll have a chance to collaborate and talk and get that input. And then, you know, while the offense is out there, I'll be calling the plays. But I'm excited. It makes me feel like I'm playing again.
I'd be the worst coordinator. I'd call a gimmick play or like a trick play every time, every single one.
You know, you think that, but then having played the position, you know, quarterback, for me, the goal is just to have a successful play on first down, which is trying to get 4 yards, mm-hmm. you know, to get half of that on second down, and then to get into manageable third down and distance situations. Yeah. Because now when you're calling the game, I want the offense being on the field, getting into a rhythm, you know, and executing, you know, the plays as they were designed. I don't want people going out there and feeling like they have to do too much.
Yeah.
Just run the offense, make good decisions. Sometimes a great decision is throwing the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes it's, you know, just throwing to your hot, you know, or taking number one in the progression, you know, and let those guys do something with it.
Yeah. Similar too with, I mean, you guys had a quick tempo and pace, like kind of mix and match on that like you did last year.
Yeah, you have to use tempo,
yeah.
you know, because if you get them into a situation where they're in a personnel group where you could take advantage of it and you don't let them off the field, mm-hmm. they're going to get tired.
Yeah.
You know, so that can work to our benefit. So we definitely want to be able to go fast at times, but there's going to be times where we're going to need to slow it up as well.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun, Bobby. I look forward to the season.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's close. It's upon us. Yeah. So we're excited about this opportunity in front of us.
Last but not least, another name familiar to the Hornet program, Jeremy LePan. He coaches the tight ends, but also the special team. So we'll spend a few moments here with the coach learning about that tight end group that features All-American Marshall Martin, but also a very important piece to the puzzle, the special teams unit. So here's that chat I had with Jeremy LePan.
All right, so let's continue on our previews. We're visiting now with Coach Jeremy LePan, tight end, special team, still big responsibilities, but I kind of want to get your perspective on being back again, all the success you guys have had, and how excited you are in year four with this group, but back-to-back-to-back Big Sky champions has to feel really pretty sweet.
It feels really good. We're comfortable. Like, I feel really comfortable with all the guys I really work with, but we're all very, very hungry mm-hmm. to continue the success. And, you know, with the leadership of Coach Thompson, Coach Frescas, Coach Richardson, I feel like we're in a really good position to keep this train moving, mm-hmm. you know, in the right direction. We've got a lot of veteran guys returning, but the staff cohesion is better than it's ever been. We're just trying to maintain our culture and not fall into the status quo. Yeah. We're just trying to keep on building.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing that same theme from a lot of you guys that are back, Coach Cherokee, Coach Frescas, Richardson, so far, you as well, that this is the best line room I've had. This is the best quarterback. Like, it's, and I'm guessing you might say this, I mean, you've got a lot of experience back at tight end. That's got to make you as a coach feel good knowing that that group you have has played a lot of games for this program.
Yeah, Marshall started day one for me, mm-hmm. so as a true freshman, and now he's a senior. So he's maintaining his weight. He's got a lot of NFL scouts looking at him, which can be a little bit of a distraction, but I think he's pretty hungry to show that he's more of just a receiving tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie's Mr. Reliable, does everything right. Can afford to cut a few LBs here and there. He likes the food. Coleman's got a really bright future ahead of him, and you know, he would start for most of the teams around the country, but he's just behind Marshall. And then Austin Gerard is coming along really nicely. His assignment wise, he's playing really fast, and he's catching the ball extremely well. You know, had a couple of really nice catches in our last scrimmage, and so I've got four guys who all have played for me, and yeah, they know the offense, so they want to install. They're like, all right, I'm bored. Let's go on the next install and the next install. So they know everything front and back, which has been great for them.
I mean, it's a position that's pretty demanding, whether it's blocking, run protection, getting downfield, underneath routes, like, and it seems like everybody kind of has some really good strengths in that. And you did mention Marshall. I mean, it's nice for you to have an All-American back who's setting all sorts of records. And how has he handled that? And, you know, like you said, scouts looking at him pretty regularly now.
He's got a great foundation with his parents and his whole family. Super supportive. Mm-hmm. Got a great relationship with his family. Marshall, I've seen him mature over the years. Mm-hmm. We have a great relationship. You know, he gives me feedback. I give him feedback. It's kind of like a big brother, little brother type mm-hmm. of situation. So he's great. And so the foundation that his parents have provided for him has really allowed him to really excel, you know. So having that base coming to football and us building upon that base, I think we're doing things the right way with him. And so it's going to be exciting to see what, you know, this next 2 weeks hold mm-hmm. once we start facing nickels.
Yeah. I'm sure in the past you guys have been no tight ends, one tight end, two tight end, multiple. I mean, similar things this year were just a variety of looks from your group.
Yeah. You know, we've are strongly about our tight end group. Mm-hmm. And so whether we're in one tight end sets, two tight end sets, or three tight end mm-hmm. sets, you know, I think we're going to be, tough to match up against, yeah. you know, because of the versatility in that room, you know. And, you know, our offense is all predicated around putting the ball, you know, the ball in your best player's hands and putting the best personnel sets on the field of the guys, you know. So if we have four killer wide receivers, we'd be in 10 personnel. If we got, you know, three really good running backs, we'd find a way to get in, you know, three running back sets, you know, because it's this game is all about, you know, the players and putting them in the right positions to make plays.
You're also responsible for special teams, and everybody's going to look right at the quarterbacks and realize, oh, you got two quarterbacks to replace. That's tough to do. But Kyle Sienkowski replacing him, that's a challenge. He was a stud, reliable kicker. Let's start there in the special teams, the kicking game. What can Hornets expect to line up at the field goal unit?
Yeah, it all starts with a snapper, AJ Campos.
He's back.
He's back. He's snapping the ball better than ever. Perfect laces on PAT field goals. So it's a little bit like golf, you know. Like if you're out there on the golfing links, it's, you know, a little easier to putt a ball if it's just stationary mm-hmm. and you're putting it. But when you have a bad hold or a bad snap, now that ball moves on you and you're trying to putt it. Right. It can be dicey. So we have a really reliable snapper coming back who's snapping the best, you know, football that he's done so far. And then Zach Schreiner is, going to be our guy. Okay. He's doing, you know, transfer from American River College, where I believe he was 9 of 10, long of 50. He's a strong kicker. He's, you know, he's had ice in his veins this whole camp. Okay. And so feel really good about him. And then kickoff-wise, I think we have the biggest leg I've ever seen in my life mm-hmm. kicking. So wow. We've seen it at practice. You have to do it in a game. Mm-hmm. But he's special from what I've seen so far. Zach is field goal kicking. He's reliable. Evan Kiley,
okay.
our kickoff guy. He's a big guy, 6'4", 215. But I think Hornet fans will be really excited about him. And then punter-wise, we got the best two-punter combo. It's a little bit like Dunaway and mm-hmm. Ash last year. We got two punters. Connor Stutz has had an unbelievable camp. Cal McGough mm-hmm. has had a really good camp. And those two guys, it's going to be hard for me to decide who's going to punt. Mm-hmm. And most teams are looking for, like, all right, we have one really good punter, and then behind him we have nothing, right? Mm-hmm. For us, we've got two, I think, all-conference punters in our room. So the trick is going to be keeping both those guys happy, yeah. you know. And hopefully yeah. we're not punting a lot.
Right.
So hopefully it's, you know, at the end of the year, it's he's gotten 15 reps, he's gotten 15 reps, and that's it, yeah. which ain't a lot for a punter. Hopefully it's not a 30-and-30 deal.
Right.
But feel confident about our offense, about our special teams. But as you know, it's, you know, special teams is all about you know, having buy-in from the team mm-hmm. and guys giving great effort and locking into meetings and yeah. playing physically on the field.
I know last year he was everywhere in all your special teams unit, Elijah Tau-Tolliver, whether it was returning, coverages, tackling. Like, I'm sure it's good to have him back kind of doing all that again.
Yeah, he's a staple in on our special teams. He's eager. He's physical. He's got great attention to detail. I can't say enough good things about Tal Tolliver. He's been a huge, lack of a better term, like blessing for myself. Another guy to look out for is Sawyer Merrill, who's really fast. And so I feel like we've got two of the best gunners in the country in that regard. On kickoff, they're going to be on there a bunch, and then in the return game, they're both really good. So,
and then punt return is, I've seen Fulcher back there. Carlos Hill, maybe.
We got Fulcher. We got Grover. Grover's doing really good. He was a punt return at Washington State, so he'll do it for us as well. You got Carlos doing it. You got Ontario Smith doing it.
You got options.
Yeah, I got some Devin Gandy doing it. And then Danny Scudero, young freshman. He's really fast. He's got a lot of juice. And the thing with him is, all right, what four games can I play him? Because don't want to burn him, but we got to win games too. Yeah. But Danny Scudero, he reminds me of a young Britton Covey who plays for the Eagles right now, who's at Utah.
Yeah.
Little guy, but a lot of juice and studies the playbook. And he's got a really bright future too. So some of my favorite guys, yeah.
Well, Coach, I know I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you're ready to play someone else finally, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
My thanks again to Coach Richardson, Tyson Prince, Donnell Pumphrey. You also heard from Bobby Freskus and Coach Jeremy LePan. So the group is ready on the offense. In our podcast episode 2, before we get ready for the first game of the year against Nicholls State, you'll hear from head coach Andy Thompson and the defense. And then we're off and running as the season is almost here. But we do thank you for listening. Tell a friend, Hornet Nation, that you're out there. This program is really developed. It's a lot of fun to follow. And highly ranked again. And just trying to build off the last couple of years of success and make this group have their own version of success as well. But that's it for us. Again, my thanks to all the coaches. I'm Jason Ross. Back again next week for another edition of the Stingers Up Sacramento State Football Podcast.